Well, we continue with the Nation's Big Conversations right here on the program. Animo Athei Foundation, with the support of EU in South Sudan, Team Europe and the Union of Journalists, is organizing an event at the University of Juba to mark the 75th anniversary of the Human Rights Day and the 25th of Human Rights Defenders Day. Well, to discuss more there about the human rights in the context of South Sudan and to learn more about the human rights event that will take place today, we are happy to have in the studio the EU ambassadors of South Sudan, Ambassador Timo Olkonen, and Ambassador of the Kingdom of Netherlands to South Sudan, Ambassador Marjans Keepers, and South Sudan Human Rights Defender of the Year 2023, and that is the President of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan, Patrick Oyet. Good morning, and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us this morning. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Right. So I'll start with the EU Ambassador. How could you explain the significance of Human Rights Day, mostly in the context of South Sudan?
Well, of course, this year, 2023, is a special year as Human Rights Day go, because it's 75 years, we're celebrating 75 years since the Declaration of Human Rights agreed in the context of the UN. For the European Union, human rights are at the very core of our values and principles. The ground basically for our internal policies, but also for our external policies. And when we work in third countries, such as in South Sudan, human rights issues guide our foreign policy towards those countries in terms of political advocacy. And unfortunately, South Sudan obviously has a lot of issues on human rights, lots of human rights problems, human rights violations that need to be tackled. We take those up in our political messaging with government and other stakeholders, and obviously we then have a considerable portfolio of development cooperation where we are supporting directly human rights issues,
right,
and then partly, but there's also a cross-cutting issue, so that in any development cooperation interventions, we take into account the human rights effects of those actions.
Right. Thank you so much there, Ambassador. And coming to you, Patrick Oyet, what are some of the major challenges being faced by human rights defenders such as you here in South Sudan, and were there some measures that you've taken to address some of these challenges?
Well, thank you for having me. The challenges are very many. Most of those challenges are related to lack of implementation of laws, because we have one of the largest section in our constitution is actually on a Bill of Rights. And if we were to really follow this, we would not have many issues. But we don't follow. We don't follow. We have a lot of things that are very good. You can talk of access to information, freedom of expression. You can talk to right to education, to health, and so forth, from actually Article 9 up to 36. All talk about really human rights. Mm-hmm. But when you come on the ground, you find that these things are not being implemented, and that's where the problem is. You find people are still arbitrarily arrested. For example, we've had recently a newspaper closed. So many problems. If you talk about, for example, the issue of education, the government should intentionally promote education.
Right.
First of all, it is the duty of everybody. Every citizen should promote human rights.
Mm-hmm.
But the state has the biggest responsibility, because it has resources and we have tasked them with responsibility, so they have to do certain things intentionally. For example, I was talking about education, for example. It's not enough to pronounce and say we want free primary education. You should therefore encourage people to invest in schools.
Right.
If you as a government you cannot do it, then give people free land. Say if you want to open a school, we'll give you land for free. We will not ask you for tax for 10 years and so forth. But if you ask now the guys who are running private schools, I have many friends who are running private schools, they are heavily taxed. Mm. There is no land and so forth. So you cannot promote education. The same when you talk about we want to promote rule of law, which, you know, is the fundamental. You have a problem, because go to other states, go to Upper Nile State, for example, there is no court.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Unity State, there is no court. The responsibility that is supposed to be taken by court is now taken up by customary courts, where, you know, the laws are not properly implemented. You find a 16-year-old girl is married off because she got pregnant.
Right.
The perpetrator is rewarded instead of being punished.
Yeah.
So you find that it is just a pronouncement and it is just there in the law, but implementation is not there. That's why the problems are really very many as far as human rights are concerned.
Right. Thank you so much there, Patrick. And coming to you, Ambassador Marijan, as you've heard elaboratively from Patrick Oyet, what actions do you believe are necessary to protect and support human rights defenders in South Sudan?
Well, you touch upon a very good thing. The Netherlands thinks that human rights defenders and civil society, they do play a vital role in the transition of South Sudan towards its new future. And if I, your question is a very good one, but if I would say have the answer, I think South Sudan would already be in a much better place. Coming here this morning, I asked my driver, I'm going to talk about human rights in South Sudan. What do you think?
Mm.
Because I think it's vital in our cooperation, as Timo also said, human rights are very central. But it is not us, it is the South Sudanese that have to take their human rights. And of course, there needs to be people in the lead that put up the problems at a table. But of course, you want to know what my driver said, and
right.
I found that quite striking.
Mm-hmm.
He said, women. He said, you have to say something about the violence against women. And yes, that is a problem here in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
We visited this week the GBV court, and indeed, it is a drop in the ocean. The GBV bill still has to be in place, but even then, as was mentioned before, laws are there sometimes, and they're very important.
Mm-hmm.
We are very happy with the Maputo Protocol, that it are all big steps, but then it has to be meaningful for the people.
Right.
And so what needs to be done is that the people also be needing to live free of fear. And fear, that the existence of fear comes from a lack of trust. And South Sudan is a low-trust society. And if people can get back trust, can learn to listen to each other without thinking that is an enemy, then we have to build, I think, trust in the society, and human rights like freedom of assembly, freedom to be heard,
right,
are very important. And I think people can relate to that.
Right. Thank you there. Coming to you, Ambassador Timo, just could you tell us about any specific initiatives or projects undertaken by the EU in South Sudan to promote human rights, like mostly on this day?
Right. So, in the span of from 21 to 24, our direct support to human rights amounts to around 25 million euro, and from that amount, 5 million, around 4.5, 5 million, goes to supporting human rights defenders, such as Patrick here, and indeed is coming to directly from a thematic line that is specifically targeted into this area.
Right.
Then we have approximately 8 million to support civil society organizations, many of whom which work on the advocacy and rights side of issues. Not all of them, but many. It's about capacity building and supporting them in their actions, linked to civic education, teaching people about their rights, which is will become a very important issue now in South Sudan, as the country is possibly moving towards elections and hopefully starting a process of constitution making.
Hmm.
There we need to educate people about their current rights and also then to give them the chance of voicing their opinions about the future of South Sudan concerning these important processes. We have a process supporting UNDP on the electoral process, which is encompassing a large part of this this right side of the agenda as well. And then finally, we have a 12 million portfolio on supporting gender equality and fight against gender-based violence, mm-hmm. which I completely agree with Marjan, that it's one of her driver.
Right.
That is one of the core driver mm-hmm. core issues in this country, because when you look at the numbers as regards of, you know, women's rights in general, and also what is reflected in social indicators such as education and health, you know, there's really so much work to do on women's equality mm. and rights. And we are coming towards the end of the 16 days okay. Of advocacy on gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. So we have this portfolio, and there we are, for example, having support to victims of gender-based violence, and we are also having support for legal support mm-hmm. for victims to take up their issues and try to promote. And of course, the weakness of rule of law is a big issue in South Sudan of people. People's rights being respected,
right.
and also that they would have then access to justice if their rights are violated. Mm-hmm. Institutions. We need to build institutions, and we want to be a partner in this.
Right. Thank you there, Timo. Now, Patrick Oyette, as human rights defenders, what are some of the key activities or events organized to raise awareness about the work that you do in South Sudan?
Yeah, there are many, and in many of the events that we actually organize or attend, we talk about the issue of human rights. Mm-hmm. And because, yes, we love the government is good because it is supposed to organize us, but also we have to tell the government the truth.
Mm.
Because the truth is that this government came into being after fighting for so many years because of human rights. The fight was because we felt that our rights were being violated.
Right.
So it is ironical if the same government comes and start violating rights of others. So we will continue to talk about violation of rights and the right things that need to be done. And some people will feel bad about it, but we will never stop talking. Mm-hmm. As a certain saying goes, that you may kill people, but you'll not kill ideas.
No.
South Sudanese all along have been having in their minds that they must be free, they must have their rights must be respected.
Mm.
And South Sudanese will not stop at a certain point, maybe because they will be threatened or they will fear that, you know, somebody is after them. People will continue to talk about human rights. They are fundamental, without which you cannot have a country. You
right.
cannot have a functioning country. You cannot have a functioning democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very important because they are just the basic things that we do every day. For example, right to life. You cannot say that you wait or we take your life for some petty issues.
Right.
So the issue is that also those rights that are progressive, like health, the government should continue to invest in health.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue to say this. Freedom of expression is very, very important, because if we silence people, then definitely other rights will be violated without anybody talking about it.
Right.
That's why we are always saying, don't close media houses, don't arrest journalists. If you have any issues, if you have a serious issue, go to court.
Mm.
And we are ready. We don't fear the court. We want the courts actually to function. So, yeah, so today, of course, as you rightly already said, we will all be at the University of Juba, and there will be some speeches. And all this is in actually promotion of the human rights. And as I said earlier, everybody should promote human rights, because it is just like an example I can give you. If you find somebody being beaten and you keep quiet for being beaten by, for example, security forces, and you keep quiet, which they are not supposed to be beaten. If
right.
they have something, they should be. Then tomorrow it will be you. You know, so the rights, you should protect your neighbor.
Mm.
Yeah, everybody should promote it. And at the end of the day, we'll find that the country will improve.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Oyette. And I would like to hear all your thoughts on this particular question. Well, South Sudan is preparing for elections in 2024. Marjan, how do you perceive on the current state of human rights in South Sudan?
Well, one thing that I would like to mention here is, and that is the Netherlands has it close at heart, is youth. We emphasize on youth, and we think that human rights and youth are very much connected. And that is why today we are in the university of Juba, because it's the future of South Sudan. A free and prosperous South Sudan is the youth that has to shape it. And so I'm really also curious today to listen to the youth, how they perceive it. Meaningful participation of youth and young people, that is essential, and that is also related, of course, to the elections. The Netherlands, we have actually a youth council, a worldwide youth council in our cooperation, and there is also a South Sudanese member, that is Grace Garang, and she has always been represented the South Sudanese youth also in our policy. So we really take that at heart. And as mentioned by Patrick, that means ensuring the right to education, but also to invest in jobs, to make sure that that they can prosper and create a life of their own. So I do believe also, if we see other challenges that are facing South Sudan, like climate change, it is the youth that will be affected. And so they need to have a say in the future of South Sudan.
Right.
I'm really curious about what they will have to say this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to that event.
That's
very
right.
Much.
Thank you so much there. Ambassador Timo, would you like to jump in?
You were asking about the current state.
Yeah.
And obviously this there's some organizations that are doing very important job in work in following the trends in human rights. You have South Sudanese NGOs, and you then have the UN Human Rights Commission, the Office of Human Rights here. Of course, they are following the trends, and unfortunately the trends are not positive. When you're looking at the trends, there's what has been reported of this year, that we have more incidents of human rights violations. The trends are a little bit tricky to interpret because you have less victims, but you have more incidents.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, you can't say about talk about an improvement, and it's an issue of concern. And here we are, and there's what compounds the problems with these is that you have impunity. So those perpetrators of human rights, even if they are reported cases, are not facing the consequences.
Mm.
And that's really something that, as South Sudan moves forward, as it moves towards the end of the transition, it's something that really needs to be tackled. And here, rule of law is extremely important. We, by the way, EU also is supporting also capacity building for the judiciary.
Right.
One of the points that also Patrick raised, and it's really something that is lacking, is too weak. You know, the judiciary, the police force, these are fundamental institutions that need to be strengthened. They need to be objective, and they need to be there at the service of the people.
Mm.
And we really need to invest in this institution building in order to guarantee that people can enjoy their rights. As
right.
we move, it's interesting that I've noted that the South Sudanese seem to favor the idea of elections when you look at the polls. But indeed, we need to have that civic space, that political space for people to be feel free and not intimidated into in expressing their views. And I think this is extremely important if and when South Sudan moves towards elections.
Right. Thank you so much. And Patrick?
Yeah. The kind of limitations that we have now, especially for us in the media, where you have national security officials still in the printing press, they have to read all articles and say this one we don't need, and if you don't remove it, we leave it blank, and so on. And when you look at some of the stories that are removed, are actually stories that are by other political parties, like opposition political parties. So that doesn't play well when we talk of going for elections, and as media we would be required to give fair airtime to each political party.
Mm.
And if already they are being blocked from even accessing, you know, media, then how will we have a fair election and free one? So I think more still needs to be done. A lot of things need to be done. And I think our government in power should really relax and be open to listening to diverging opinions.
Mm.
It's good if you listen to very many opinions, even you may pick something and it will help you also to,
right.
to implement.
Right.
So we don't see this. There is a lot of restrictions still. We have, of course, some institutions that are put in place to help the media, like Media Authority, but we also still have some reservations on some issues that are not, we feel that are not properly handled or they are too quiet about. So many things are still not okay.
Mm.
So in as much as we want to go for election, because we are in a very difficult situation, we know that there has been extension of the duration for implementation of the peace agreement, the roadmap, and we've seen also nothing much has been done.
Right.
So what happens if you add more time? We don't know. Okay.
Well, because we're running out of time. At the top of the hour, we'll be having the news summary coming up. Well, thank you so much for your time, Ambassador Timo and Ambassador Marjan, plus Patrick Oyet. Thank you so much for your time.